Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, we've been talking about here for some time what is happening in the Middle East, in particular with ISIS. ISIS is still persecuting Christians, killing moderate Muslims, and chopping the heads off of Christians. And right now, you know, there is a small Christian army that's fighting. Many people have never heard of them before. In fact, their name is Devek Nausha, which means self-sacrificing. But what's interesting about that is that many now retired soldiers who have fought in Iraq are actually joining this small band of army who's actually fighting against ISIS. And what's concerning at this moment is that we're getting reports back, according to Breitbart News, that they're done. They have no more weapons. They need more training. And they're asking for help. They're actually begging the United States for help. I want you to see why some of our soldiers are actually leaving the comfort of their home to go help them fight in Iraq. Watch this.
When Islamic State swept through Iraq and Syria last year, posting its conquest on social media, it drew thousands of foreign fighters from across the world to join its ranks. But it also drew some fighters whose mission is to fight back against Islamic State.
What I want to accomplish is to get Daesh out of this country, destroy them, basically.
At the Assyrian Political Party building in Iraq's Nineveh province, a group of Americans has joined a Christian militia called Devek Nausha. They're fighting alongside Kurdish Peshmerga forces to protect Christian villages on the front line.
I'm here to protect the innocent at all costs. And it's out of love, you know, and concern and respect for these people here.
Many of these fighters are U.S. veterans, and while their motives for fighting differ, they all agree that IS must go.
Our veterans are amazing. Did you hear what he said? He said it's out of love. You know, they're compelled to go back and fight. Listen, right now there is a war that's waging in the Middle East, and many of us in America don't even know. We're not even aware. We don't have a conscience of really what is truly happening. And it's important that now more than ever, that ISIS is defeated and the end of Christian persecution stops immediately. Some reports are that within 5 to 10 years, there'll be no more Christians in the Middle East. Think about that. 5 to 10 years, Christians will be totally gone. This is our time right now. This is our moment. Steve Hill often used to say in the Browns of Revival that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. Well, we have an opportunity today as Americans, as Christians, to do our part to stand with our brothers and our sisters that are fleeing from their homes. They've left everything behind, and they're wanting just to survive. But a small band of a few of them said, we're going to stay and fight. We're going to protect those who can't protect themselves. And we need training. We need resources. We need funds. And there's a retired Lieutenant Colonel, Sangari, who's actually over there right now in Iraq, who's actually helping them out, advising them, and they're making a plea available saying, listen, we need help. We're going to make sure that we relay all kinds of resources for you where you can actually help to donate to these soldiers who are fighting for Christians. When we get back from this break, we're going to actually showcase and highlight to you a story of a young a soldier, American, a veteran who went back to Iraq. What he feels is his calling to defend Christians in Iraq from ISIS. You don't want to miss it. This is amazing and very hopeful to me, Steve, when I see that Christians are defending themselves in Iraq, in Syria, from ISIS. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like nobody wants to get involved. Nobody wants to help them. What are we really doing? Mm-hmm. And why have we not stopped this radical terrorist group that's recruiting fighters, terrorists from all over the world, not just Europe, but they're using Facebook, social media to recruit these young people to go leave America, get mm-hmm. this, to go fight and commit terror. And to, you know, some reports are that they just murdered a slew of young children. Their faces were buried, you know, face down, and just put machine guns to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is barbaric. And yet there's this small group. They're called the Vecnausha, which actually means self-sacrifice. They're a small band of an army that's privately funded, and they're a group fighting under the command of the Kurdish Peshmerga. And it's amazing to see what these men are doing mm-hmm. out of sense of duty, out of sense of obligation. And it's amazing to know that veterans that mm-hmm. already served our country, they're saying they're not serving us. They're serving the Christians that are just being slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so noble. I know that you fought for us in Iraq and you know.
Yeah, being overseas, I was over there twice in basically the province around the Fallujah area. And when you see over there, you know, there's people that are caught in the middle. There's people that are literally, you know, they're just oppressed by so much evil around them. And when you see veterans going overseas, it's a weird dichotomy. When you're deployed, you want to be back home, but yet when you're back home, you want to be deployed because you see that life, and you. Guys who have been trained the way that they have, they see those that are not being supported, those that need help that aren't getting it, and they're like, if those, you know, authorities or organizations aren't going to do something, we're going to do it. And to see them stand up and put action behind their words, it's just a beautiful thing to see.
It's amazing. You see a lot of veterans that come back home and they realize what Americans are living for, mm-hmm. how they're living their life, mm-hmm. no grit at all to what's happening in the Middle East, no sense of purpose or commitment or self-sacrifice. It used to be that when America went to war, you would see a lot of, I mean, I remember in the Gulf War, my uncle was fighting in that war. And I can remember in the community, I mean, there was yellow ribbons all over the place. It was, you know, there was a great camaraderie and for support for our military. And it's not that you don't hear people supporting them. It's just not as bold as it used to be, it appears, mm-hmm. you know? And we need to stand. If we don't stand with the people that are defending us, mm-hmm. who are we going to stand with?
Oh, yeah.
And right now, I want you to watch and really take in this former soldier's, former military veteran. He's a veteran that actually fought in Iraq. He actually went back. He's 28 years old. Some would say he's in the prime of his youth. And he went back, Steve, mm-hmm. not for himself, but for Christians. It's amazing what this young man is doing and what other servicemen are doing. It's amazing. Watch this.
Nearly 9 years after Brett first saw combat here, this Detroit native returned to Iraq to defend the Christian faith he holds so dear.
Hello. What's up, buddy? Marhaba.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you.
There are a lot of kids here now.
That's good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Brett asked us not to use his last name for security reasons. In 2006, he served in the U.S. Army's 14th Mountain Division for 15 months in Iraq. Brett was wounded by a roadside bomb and is a veteran on disability.
Why come back after all the time you served here and what you've seen isn't too much?
I've seen enough combat to last me a lifetime. I'm trying to do this on humanitarian grounds, trying to help out, to bring the worldview here, trying to help liberate cities, trying to help protect cities, and it's a different mission this time, it is.
Perhaps his greatest goal is to protect Christianity in Iraq. Brett is a religious Catholic. Last August, the 28-year-old interrupted his studies and traveled to northern Iraq, where he joined the Assyrian Christian militia, Divek Nausha, which means self-sacrifice in Aramaic.
I miss you.
It's a privately funded group numbering in the hundreds under the command of the Kurdish Peshmerga that is fighting ISIS in northern Iraq and eastern Syria. The U.S. military is providing support for the Peshmerga. There are several American, British, and Canadian Christian volunteers also serving, most with Iraqi battlefield experience. They receive no pay, but are provided with free room and board by the Assyrian Christian militia.
To me, it means everything. I mean, I come from a country where most people take for granted their freedoms. They don't understand what persecution is. In this part of the world, to be able to live free and practice your faith without being killed, it's huge.
We caught up with Brett in Al-Qush, a Christian town just 30 miles from the ISIS stronghold in Iraq, Mosul. Al-Qush was overrun last summer by ISIS fighters and then recaptured with the help of Kurdish and Christian militias this past August. Skirmishes with ISIS persist nearby.
ISIS likes to pitch attacks. They're cowards. They like to do it in low visibility, low moonlight, rain, fog, stuff like that.
I mean, we love America too much.
America loves it. We love you guys. We love this house. And we love that she stayed with us.
This house is like church.
It is, honestly. It's like church. It is.
Bassa Musafar was the only Christian to stay and survive in Al-Qush when ISIS took the town. She has transformed her house into a Christian shrine, memorializing the fallen. Just as St. George killed the serpent, the Christian militias are depicted crushing the ISIS snake.
Do you think this is a religious war?
I think it's become a religious war, yes, because the atrocities they're committing are based on their beliefs. And the fact that, you know, you can push Christians back so far, but when we do pick up the sword, you know, we fight back, and we're doing so for our faith. We're doing so for our beliefs.
But for the moment, at least, life in Al-Qush has returned to something like normal.
What does this town mean for you?
This town signifies a victory. I mean, at one point, this town was completely abandoned, except for one person, sometimes two.
Go ahead.
But now, I mean, the church bells ring again here. People go about their business. People live here. That's the biggest thing. As you can see, shops are open. Business is back. People are going to school. This signifies one of the few victories in Nineveh that we have right now. I mean, what's terrorism? Terrorism is a disruption of your daily life, and, you know, these people are resilient. They've been able to say, hey, look, we know you're in the area, but we're not going to let you destroy our lives. You know, we'll stay here and we'll die for what we believe in, but we're going to continue to go on and operate our daily life. So it's a success.
Assyrian Christianity has survived here for nearly 2,000 years, despite numerous attempts to destroy its followers. Established in Syria and Iraq, Assyrian Christianity predates the rise of Islam by at least 400 years. ISIS is the latest serious attempt to destroy Assyrian Christians in this region.
ISIS calls Christians crusaders. How do you feel when they say you're a crusader?
Who was here before Islam? The Christians. The Assyrian Christian population is indigenous to this land. So to me, it just shows how ignorant they truly are and how uneducated they are, too.
Dr. Yifat Monikendam is an expert on Assyrian Christianity, a lecturer at Hebrew University of Jerusalem.
Assyrian Christians have been here since Christianity started in the 2nd century or the 4th century, it doesn't matter, way before Islam, and way, way before the Crusaders. The Crusaders arrived in the 11th century and remained here for 200 years approximately. The other Christian groups in the area were here before and remained even after the Crusaders left.
Though Christians once again are worshiping freely in Al-Qush, they remain under attack in much of Iraq and Syria and throughout parts of the Middle East. 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians recently were beheaded by ISIS fighters in Libya, and ISIS has made it a point to publicize its destruction of ancient and precious Christian artifacts in Iraq. Hundreds of Christians have been taken hostage, an untold number have been killed, and hundreds of thousands of others have been displaced. And yet the Christians we met insist they will never surrender to ISIS.
We will overcome them. We will never leave. They're evil. They're murderers. They will not defeat us. We will defeat them.
While the U.S. government has yet to issue a ruling about the legality of volunteering for these militias, Brett says the international community, including Christians in the United States, need to do much more to defend people he describes as their brothers and sisters in Christ, people now under attack here.
What's the message that you're trying to take to the world?
They need to open their ears. People are crying. They need to open their eyes. You know, they need to help. You know, we need funds. We need support. They don't just want to kick us out, they want to kill us, and they are killing us. Jesus said, before they hated you, they hated me. Before they persecute you, they persecuted me, and before they kill you, they've killed me. And it shows the resilience of the people here, and that sends a message to the whole world.
That's so amazing. To me, that's so inspiring, and I thank Brett and all of those soldiers that have been willing to leave the comfort of their home and to go help those that are being slaughtered, Steve, mm-hmm. in the Middle mm-hmm. East. I mean, our brothers and sisters, their lives literally hang in the balance. Yeah. And some people talk about it, but some people are doing something about it. And we're going to give you the opportunity to go to a website. Steve's going to share that with us in a minute, where you can actually help them in one way or the other. You can actually participate. But this is amazing mm-hmm. to me. He says, listen, practicing your faith without being killed, that's a luxury that we have in the West mm-hmm. right now. Things can change, and they can change rapidly. But there in the Middle East, just for being a Christian, they mark their homes with that Nazarene symbol, just like the Germans and Hitler did with the Jews. They marked them, and it was basically a mark for slaughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm so encouraged by what I see happening. We want to share this with you so that you can be encouraged, but also so you know how to direct your prayers mm-hmm. and so that you can give as the Lord leads you, as well as maybe you want to play some sort of active role in this. But find your way. These are things that we need to be able to dialogue mm-hmm. with God about, things we need to be in prayer about, and ask the Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? As Christians, we see things that are happening every day, and we have two choices. One, to close our eyes and to act as if we didn't notice it, we didn't see it, or it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. Or two, ask God to move upon us with compassion and to find out, what is my role? How am I to respond to this? Mm-hmm. Listen, we can't respond to everything, but we can all do something. In fact, we can do the chief thing, the most important thing, and that's to take it to prayer daily. Listen, before a war can be fought physically, we need to win it spiritually. Maybe God maybe leads you to take an hour, 30 minutes, just to pray for persecuted Christians all over the world. Listen, their plan, ISIS, is to eventually come here to the United States. If we don't defeat them there, we will definitely see them here. We don't want that to happen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.